The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. And if you are ready to take the next steps to be empowered and motivated and lead to success, then stay tuned. This morning, we have got Dr. Bill Moria, who is an expert in how leadership development can transform individuals, groups, and organizations. Now, Diana has got a very wonderful background. She has a doctorate. She's a PhD and is a KeyBank professor and chair of organizational behavior at the Weatherhead School of Management, Case Western Reserve University. She is also co-author of Gender Equity in Science, Engineering, Advancing Change in Higher Education. She has a handbook on women in business management and women on corporate boards, and she's a corporate boards of directors for the International Research and Practice. She has published extensively in leading journals and has contributed to several edited volumes and received multiple research grants. She has served as the editor of the Journal of Management of Education and sits on the editorial board of several journals in the business and management field. Diana's research focus is on gender and diversity in governance and leadership and organizational transformation. Her studies have helped corporate, educational, and nonprofit organizations reinvent themselves and establish practices that attract and retain higher performance and diverse workforce. Diana, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you, Deanne. This is very exciting to be on the Voice of America World Talk Radio and on your show, Today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you very much. You know, you have a very interesting background. That's one of the things that that our listeners need to understand is you didn't get your education here in the United States. You got your education someplace else. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your path?
Be delighted to. I grew up in Mumbai, India, which I know as Bombay before the name change. And I lived there for about 23 years. I did my undergraduate studies in finance and accounting there and followed up with an MBA degree from one of the management education institutions in India. After that, I worked for a while in a large hotel management company, and I mainly did human resources work like recruitment, training, and human resource planning. I came to the U.S. to do my PhD in business management, and I went to the University of Michigan, spent 5 absolutely fantastic years in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and then took my first academic job and my only academic job since then. It's been 25 years almost, at Case Western Reserve University at the Weatherhead School of Management in the Department of Organizational Behavior.
And that is in Michigan? Where is that?
I'm sorry?
Where is that school?
The University of Michigan is in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
No, the Weatherhead School of Management?
I'm sorry. That's at Case Western Reserve University, which is in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes.
All right, great. So you stayed in academia, and your research is on gender and diversity.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what your research focused on in that area.
I'd be delighted to. Mostly what I study is the topic of women in leadership and governance. What I'm really interested in is what are the ways by which organizations, and this includes corporate or nonprofits or educational, healthcare, how do they reinvent themselves and establish practices that attract and retain a high performance and diverse workforce? So questions that I might be interested in, and my studies have helped to answer questions, include what helps individuals, especially women, achieve their fullest potential as leaders and contributors? What are the organizational conditions that facilitate women and minority group members becoming leaders in these organizations and advancing to top management and board positions? And some of the findings of my research is that there is a payoff from diversity, all kinds of diversity, including gender diversity, particularly when there's diversity at the top of organizations.
The opposite of that, unfortunately, is also, we don't see a lot of diversity at the top of organizations.
I know, which is by not having the diversity at the top of organization results in really unfavorable outcomes for the organizations and for the women and minority groups that work in these organizations and for the customer base and the marketplace of these organizations as well. So there's a high cost to not being inclusive, and especially in the time that we live in, which is a time that is characterized by increasing participation and increasing drive towards inclusion at all levels and all sectors of our society.
You know, one of the things that I really would like to dive into is what are some of the keys to your success? And then second of all, what are some of those keys that women can tap into so they can prove to others that they should be promoted into these leadership, higher levels of leadership within organizations? That's kind of a really loaded double question here, but I want to throw it out at you.
I'm glad to answer it. Let me break it down into a couple different responses. The first about my own success. I really have been fortunate in building the kind of relationships, putting in the kind of hard work that is any job in any position requires both of these things. I've been of service to others as a leader and a mentor, and I think that, again, is when we give to other people, we succeed ourselves as well. And then the other thing that I want to say is that I'm passionate about the mission of higher education, which is to empower and inspire others to learn and develop and improve the world in which they live. And, when you find your passion, you do wonderful things, great things happen. And I've been fortunate that that has happened for me. The second part of your question was, some of the challenges that women face, and then what are some of the ways by which they can overcome those as well.
Right.
And there are many, many challenges, some that are posed by the organizations and some that women reify as they go through their career paths. So let me just mention some of the things that organizations pose as challenges for women's advancement and development. Mm-hmm. The first is that the paths to leadership and advancement to the top are slower and often blocked for women. Women are not as well recognized as men are. They're not as appropriately rewarded as men are. Women are often excluded from informal networks. And the support bases and the support networks for leadership are mentoring, coaching, and sponsorship. And sometimes women are not as access to these is not as available to women as it is for men. Women lack role models. There are just fewer people at the top. There's not the critical mass that is at lower levels in the organization. It's lacking at the top. Mm-hmm. There are lack of supports for work-life integration. So women have to find individual means and individual choices to find what works best for them and their families. The organizations don't support that. And then finally, I want to say that there are double binds, what we call a mismatch between conventionally feminine qualities and the qualities thought necessary for leadership. Mm-hmm. So women get caught in this double bind. If they are liked they're often not considered to be strong enough to be leaders. If they're strong enough to be leaders, they're often not as well liked.
Well, I think that's really true.
Yeah.
I think that's really nailed it on the head. I mean, because oftentimes the woman, in order to prove that she has the leadership qualities, she's very assertive, and that has a cost, and part of that cost is you're just not as well liked.
Yeah. And that can
What can women do about that?
Yeah. All of these things can translate into being slower in advancement and being blocked from the very top jobs. What women can do is they can seek out mentors and coaches and sponsors and role models and really build strong relationships, nurturing their allies, getting buy-in from higher-up folks. They can strengthen their inner core, and that means learn to lead and lead with vision and integrity and make choices that are strategic and that are good for the organization, that are mission-based, and where change is required to show how the change benefits others. They have to be more purposeful about their own career planning rather than just letting it happen. A lot of times people just wait for their career to happen rather than making the kind of purposeful decisions that advantage certain positions over others. Women need to express interest in their jobs and opportunities that stretch their skills and widen their experience so that they can gain the necessary qualifications and be well prepared for senior leadership positions. They should practice negotiating for more positive outcomes. And they should pay attention to how they come across to others, especially how they signal commitment to the organization.
What does that mean, how they signal commitment?
So sometimes an assumption is made about women, particularly if they're in a child-rearing, child-bearing age, that you know they'll opt out or that they'll prioritize the organization less. And these decisions might be made individually by women, but they should be thoughtful about how they communicate that to their managers, to peers, and others in the organization, so that those people are not making assumptions about them that are unfounded.
Very interesting. Could you give a quick example of that? How you might communicate
yeah.
that better way?
Yes, absolutely. One of the women I coached recently was in this position where she is thinking about starting a family and considering taking a part-time position rather than a full-time position. This is quite some years away, or at least a couple of years away. She's just gotten married. And what I advised her to do was to make the choices that are right for her, but at the same time, not preclude herself from the advancement opportunities that are here in the near future, and signal to her boss that she wants to be able to take on advancement opportunities. Not check out from the system as, Sheryl Sandberg suggests in her book, Lean In, before the time is right, and so preclude herself from opportunities of advancement.
Well, we need to take a quick break here, and when we come back, I'd like to dive into this just a little bit more if we can. But we have to take a quick break. This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of Today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne@DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we have a gender diversity expert on the phone, and it's Dr. Diana Bilimoria. And just before break, we were talking about how women could signal their commitment to an organization, especially during those childbearing years when they have that really difficult bind that they're in. Diana, if you could just tell us a little bit more about what a woman can specifically do to help pave the way during those difficult transition times.
I'm glad to speak. I can share with you some stories and examples from coaching that I have done in the last few years. A lot of it is with women managers and women executives, although I also coach others, men as well. And invariably, when I speak with women who are in organizations, oftentimes, the issue that is the most salient on their mind is how can they advance to higher levels in organizations, contribute, and serve other people as leaders in those companies. And, the advice I give them is very similar to the advice I really provided earlier. Oftentimes, women are indicate that they receive feedback that they are not as open, perhaps, or that they're not as nurturing as a gender stereotype is often held about women. And they perceive that they are being treated in a way that is not helpful to their advancement because they come across as a little bit more intimidating or as a little bit more difficult. These are often words that are used when feedback is given to them. Mm-hmm. And they're given advice of a huge amount of variation, going from you need to smile more to you need to be less demanding. So that's a frequent kind of coaching issue that comes up when I speak with women executives in particular. My advice to them always is to be more open to understanding and having the viewpoints of others, to listen to other people as well, to hold your high standards. Of course, you cannot lower your standards for effective performance of high-level excellence. But to be able to temper the way women approach other people so that they can be more discerning of the inputs of others and not have it be just singularly their standards or their inputs, you know, so that they have to be more willing to be inclusive, to bring other members in, to seek voice, and to encourage excellent performance and hold people accountable for excellent performance, but in a way that doesn't defeat the gender stereotype that is already being held about them. What they have to do is to extend the stereotype so that they firstly don't create dissonance, but at the same time, they're able to go beyond it so that they can serve as inspiring leaders to other people and at the same time welcome input and be inclusive.
So
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, what I think I'm really hearing is...
The best advice I give women is that they have to be both and. They have to have the best qualities that are masculine in leadership and the best qualities that are feminine in leadership. And they have to combine both of those to be the most effective leaders.
Yeah, what I'm really hearing is that inclusive piece is really coming out loud and clear, because
yes.
I think women who are very assertive and really driven tend to want to take on the world by themselves, and they don't always include others. And I think that that is – and the other thing I think I'm really hearing you say also is when you're talking about tempering the way you approach others is really being a listener. And,
yeah.
and maybe asking for other people's opinions to bring them
yeah.
in and be more
yeah.
inclusive.
Yeah, and those are what we would traditionally call feminine leadership qualities. So they bring both the more agentic qualities of leadership as well as the more communal qualities of leadership. And the women who seem to be most successful seem to combine both of these. Both the agentic and the communal.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, because I mean, I'm sitting here going, well, this is all really good in theory, but in practical terms, how do you do this? You know, because that's not hard. I mean, it's not an easy thing.
Right, right.
You know, one of the questions that I have, you were raised in India. You did most of your education in India. Were there some benefits in having a education and growing up in a different country before coming over here, or were there added challenges?
Very much so. Firstly, the fundamentals of higher education, and in fact, education in India are very strong. And so I've just benefited greatly from having a rigorous academic background, so to speak, that prepared me for the kind of doctoral level research and then the academic research as a professional in the field that I've been doing subsequently. But in addition to this, the educational value, there's also a high level of diversity in Indian culture. Most Indians speak multiple languages. I myself speak at least three, I'd say, and I'm functional in a fourth. So, you know, there are quite a few ways by which you incorporate a more inclusive mindset and you have affinity for dealing with diverse people. And that, to me, has been a great advantage and a great benefit, which has helped me greatly in my job and in my career.
So you didn't see, I mean, like, when you came over here, so the being raised in India, you didn't have any challenges with that as being seen as a leader because you weren't raised in the United States? You didn't have that?
In the field I'm in, which is the academic world, the kind of work that you do, the research that you do, does contribute to your advancement. And so, you know, there are always challenges for diverse people, always, you know, of the kinds that I mentioned earlier, in particular for women. But there are also advantages that can be harnessed, as I've described, you know, enabling one to be even more inclusive and to drive an agenda of change by including other people.
All right. Very good. You know, one of the questions that I have is, you know, even in academia, I don't see a lot of women at the top, and yet you've been able to surface and be at the top in an educational environment. How did you do that?
You are right that women at the top of the academic ladder, the full professors and the endowed professors, there are much fewer women than there are at the lower levels of the academic hierarchy, particularly at the level of instructors, often who are non-tenure track, or assistant professors who may be tenure track also. So the issue for me, again, as I said, is, you know, building the kind of relationships, serving on the kind of boards and other kinds of career-building activities. For example, when I was a editor of a particular journal, or I worked on changes in our university through a variety of service committees and so on, increased my visibility and increased my ability to be noticed by others as well. So perhaps that's part of what it is.
All right. So what I think I just heard you say is you looked outside of the just the institution that you're with. What are some of the other activities that you could be involved in that will signal your leadership capabilities?
Exactly. Yes. And that is very, very important for women and minority groups to do, because they not only build those leadership skills outside that can then be transferred to the inside.
Yeah. You know, in the Journal of Management Education that you were the editor of, I mean, that's a very prestigious journal. I mean, I subscribed to that for years.
I'm so delighted to hear that.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting. I mean, when I read that, I went, whoa, this is a great lady. You know, what I think I'm really hearing you say is really be seeking out those real opportunities.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And those opportunities enable skill building and they widen experience as well.
Yeah, and I think what else is really interesting is you were nominated for an Athena Award as well this last year.
Yes, thank you.
And that is a huge feather in your cap. I actually had Martha Mertz, who is the founder of Athena,
how wonderful.
On the show.
Pardon me? How wonderful.
Yeah, so congratulations on that. I mean, that is a major, major accomplishment.
You know,
as we're wrapping up here, why don't you tell us a little bit about your teaching work and some of the activities that you're involved in?
Yes, thank you so much. Most important to me are the wonderful students whom I work with. I teach in our degree programs at the MBA level and at our PhD level, mostly in courses on leadership development and women in organizations. And it's just a privilege and an honor to be an instructor with our students because they're so excellent. I also teach in our school's executive education programs. These are one-day programs that can be pulled together in a certain format to get a certificate from the program. And so I direct a program called Women in Leadership Certificate Program. So it's a series of one-day seminars on topics such as leadership, communication across genders, negotiation skills, work-life integration, career development. We have a brand new program that I'm very excited about sharing with our listeners. It's called Women in STEM Leadership, is really what we would call a leadership lab for women in STEM. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And this is a particular set of professions that are highly driven by science and technology and engineering, of course, but they are also highly male-dominated professions. And women need a particular set of skills, knowledge, advice, coaching, sponsorship in those kind of professions to be the most successful. We find from our own research, and we've done extensive research in this area of STEM leadership, that women's advancement and even the just a critical mass of women in these professions is lacking, particularly at more senior levels, even more so than other corporations. And so we've designed this program to provide 360-degree feedback, executive coaching, instructional lectures and seminars, experiences to facilitate skill building and practical knowledge to address challenges and opportunities in their career development. So I just want to say if anyone here is interested in this program, you can find more information on our website, and that is weatherhead.case.edu/STEMWomen. STEMWOMEN. That's one word. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
That sounds like a really strong program, and you're right. I mean, I'm not seeing in the scientific world, engineering world, mathematical world, it's very difficult to find women at higher levels in those areas. Yeah,
yes,
they're very
advancement
difficult.
Advancement becomes a really critical issue, and we provide some inputs that enable women to take more of a informed and more educated approach to their own careers.
I think that's an excellent. Why don't you give us that website again so how they can get hold of you?
Yes, it's weatherhead.case.edu/STEMWomen.
Wonderful. If you could do me a favor and email that to me, and then any of my listeners, if they will email me, Deanne@deannedemarco.com, and just ask, give me the STEM link, that I can forward that to them as well.
I'll be delighted to. And
but that would be a wonderful thing to follow up on.
Yes, and I'm also glad to provide my own personal website in case anybody wants to go and look at that. It's Billimoria, BILIMORIA.weatherhead.case.edu. And that will give you a number of links to other research and teaching, coaching, and other kinds of presentations I've made that could be of some interest to some of our listeners.
Well, wonderful. Yeah, because there aren't very many programs like this out there. And I think women need to really be looking at these types of programs and advancing their career. Well, our time has just flown by. Diane, I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women. You've just been a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Well, thank you, Deanne. I've enjoyed this, and good luck to you and to all our listeners.
Well, thank you again. Well, we have to take a quick break. Stay tuned, and we'll find a little bit about how to deal with difficult people. We'll be right back.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Find out out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women. And in this segment, I want to talk about how do you deal with difficult people? I don't know about you, but everyone I meet is not someone I get along with. You know, and I have these difficult people I have to sometimes confront with and have to interact with, whether it be, you know, especially with the holidays coming up here, you know, some of these difficult people could be relatives, you know, family members. And how do you deal with all that? You know, one of the things that I think we really need to understand is that we do have a couple choices in how we're going to deal with the difficult people in our lives. I mean, one of them is we could do nothing. You know, we can suffer, we can increase our stress, you know, we can be, you know, just being annoyed with all the complaining that other people do, and then later on complain to, you know, our dogs or our husbands or significant others. So we could do nothing, which I'm not sure that's a really good choice, but that is a choice. You know, another choice would be that we could somehow just do what I call a graceful exit or not a graceful exit. And that is you just like leave. You know, I mean, there are times when if the difficult people are just really driving you down, what's to say you just can't leave the situation, grab the car keys and get the heck out of Dodge here, but just pick up and leave. You know, not all situations are resolvable, and you need to understand that. And there's nothing wrong with actually leaving. I'm not sure that always sends a real clear signal of that you're willing to work with whatever the situation was that you're talking with. But sometimes you need to take care of yourself, and you just need to get away or separate yourself from the difficult person that you're dealing with. Another thing you could do is you could change your attitude. You know, stop suffering around the difficult person. And one of the ways that you can change that your attitude is by, what am I going to do when that difficult person starts complaining, or starts, you know, going off on some aspect that you just don't want to talk about, you don't want to listen to. And one of those things is you can just deflect that difficult person, and that deflection technique is actually a very, very good one. And one of the simple phrases with that is it sounds like a personal problem, or it sounds like a personal issue for you. And I just don't want to choose to talk about that at this time. Another one is you could change your behavior, and your behavior is all about your response to that person. You know, and with that, you need to be taking a look at what has your response been in the past. Do you sit there and suffer, or do you get angry and confront? Change your response, because the odds are, especially if this is a person that you've had run-ins with before, they're going to be used to your response. So change it up, throw them off guard a little bit. So we're going to be talking about this in this segment of the show is how to deal with some of these very difficult people that you have to work with on a day-to-day basis, sometimes at work or in your home life as well. One of the questions I want to ask you is, what do you want out of this relationship? So if you could handle the difficult person, what would that end result look like? So begin that interaction with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey would say. So what would you want to come out of this situation? Do you want to be able to have the person quit talking about whatever their issue might be? I mean, I have some relatives that go on and on and on about political things. And frankly, I just don't want to have anything to do with that kind of stuff. I don't even want to engage in that type of conversation. What do you do with a difficult person at work? Oh, the whiners, the backstabbers. We'll go into some of those cast of characters a little bit later. But what is the end result in working with that person? You can't count on them going away, by the way. So if you could handle the difficult person, what would you be able to do better? And I think those are the things that you really need to identify. You can't change somebody else. You can only change yourself. So if you could handle the difficult person better, what are the things that you would be able to do? But it doesn't make sense to just take the abuse of a difficult person, because all that does is increase your stress levels, which can lead to all kinds of health issues as well. You know, and sometimes we have different perceived differences. And sometimes those perceived differences is what's causing your difficult person to be a difficult person. Let me give you an example of that. Dr. Agrius from Harvard University came up with a model called the ladder of inference. And the ladder of inference is that we have observable data that we, when we are interacting with others, we observe their behaviors, we observe their comments, we observe the verbal and nonverbals, but we have that observable data. And then what ends up happening is we end up putting our own selective filters to that information. It's like putting on a pair of sunglasses. And so we filter out what we've observed based upon our own values and beliefs. So our own values and beliefs and attitudes and thoughts. And so we filter it through our own selective filters. And then from that, we come up with meanings of what we think the person is meaning. We come up with certain assumptions. We draw conclusions. And then we have actions. And believe it or not, a lot of the people that you see as your difficult person is they're interacting, you are interacting with them at the tops of their ladders. So you're both acting out and interacting with another from that action level of the ladder. And what you need to both do is climb down that ladder and stick to the observable data. And because your selective filters has a play in how you're interacting with somebody. So that's just to one head up. So some of those differences may be perceived differences when in fact it, you may not have a difference at all. So one of the questions I'm also going to ask you is that you need to really try and understand your difficult person. Oh, what is it about the person that makes them difficult for you? Why is this person being difficult? And sometimes we have different magnifiers in our life that magnify a person's actions or a certain person's words. So it magnifies in our own mind when in fact it may be a smaller deal. Let me just give you an example of that. I mean, if you're having a bad day or you have a headache or recently I tripped over my dog and twisted my leg and I was in a lot of pain with that. I mean, that was not a good time to have conversations with me at that point because everything was magnified because of other things that were going on in my life. So those magnifiers can sometimes take something that is trivial and blow it up in your mind just like with a magnifying glass. So you need to be paying attention to it. So if you have a difficult person, what is it about this person that is being difficult? And why is this person being difficult? And are there any magnifiers in your own life that could be blowing this up out of proportion for you? And I hate to, you know, no one wants to look at themselves as being blowing some stuff up out of proportion, but sometimes that is true. It does happen. So the other thing that sometimes gets in the way with dealing with difficult people, sometimes they just have a different communication style as you. I'm an extroverted person, so maybe someone who is introverted, I might see them as a difficult person because they're slower to react. They process information, whereas I'm someone who is fast-paced and more reacts to information. Another aspect is people who are very people-focused versus people who are task-focused. You know, I don't want to talk about all the ins and outs of what you're doing for vacation, where you're going for lunch, and all these people kinds of things. I want to just get to the task and get the job done. So sometimes those differences in looking at tasks can also create a person to be a difficult person on both ways, not for how you perceive others, but how they perceive you. And our previous guest, Dr. Bill Amoria, made a mention that sometimes someone who is very, very assertive, very task-focused, needs to be looking at the more people side of things. We need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to deal with difficult people. I'm going to give you some of the tools and how to deal with some of the difficult people that you might have in your life. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of Today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco at Today's Inspiring Women, and we're talking about how to deal with difficult people. And one of the things I want to just kind of talk about is this what I call the cast of characters. I mean, there's a lot of different types of people that can be a difficult person. I mean, sometimes we have our bullies and our con artists and our power freaks and our button pushers. We have our coasters and people who are what I call space cadets, because they're not really, they don't seem to really focus on anything. We have also people who are substance abusers. We have our wise guys and our smart alecks, which can drive you nuts. And we have our people who really come on like a bulldozer or control freaks. So that we have a lot of different types of people who can be seen as a difficult person in your life. So what are some of the tools that you can use in dealing with some of these difficult people in your life? Well, one of them is to really fine-tune some of your communication style. And one of the things that you can do with that is, what's your pacing in your communication? Are you speaking at a high rate of speed? Are you speaking really, really slow? So what is the pacing that you're using with the person who is your difficult person? Because one of the things that you really want to try and do is create more shared experiences between you and your difficult person. So sometimes the pacing of your language can interfere with that. Also, what are some of your nonverbal responses in communication with this difficult person? What's your tone of voice? What's your pitch, your rate of speed, how do you pronounce your words? Because sometimes these nonverbal aspects of word power can come into play with dealing with a difficult person. And along with that is, what is the actual words that you are using? Are you using really weak phraseology as compared to stronger word choices? For example, did you say something like, I have to do this versus I'm going to do this? Or do you say something like, this really is just not my job, versus something more stronger that says, if you would help me out with this, I would appreciate it very much. Or use a weaker phrase like, no one told me, versus that is not what I've been told. So how are you using your phraseology? One of my pet peeves is, I'll try. That is a very weak phrase. Turn that around and saying, I will. So instead of saying, well, I'm going to try to do this, say, well, I will do this. And I think that's one of the problems that women sometimes have, is they use weaker phrases rather than really strong, assertive phrases in trying to get things done. Another thing that you can do is another tool in trying to help you with a difficult person is build trust with that person. Don't assume that trust is automatic, because it isn't. Trust is something that you have to build up over time. And one of the things that you can do to help build trust is listen. Listen for the meanings of what the person is trying to say. If you're not understanding their words, ask them to use a clarification question. It's like, could you describe for me what you meant by whatever they just said, or what specifically do you mean by whatever? Because word choice comes into play again in building trust, is that we're not always clear, we're not always precise in on our communication and how we communicate with one another. So building trust is another piece that can help you with dealing with a difficult person. And one of the keys of building trust is to be a better listener, because what really is happening here is that you want to make sure that the other person is feeling heard. Some keys around that: take notes, maintain eye contact, ask questions around what they were just talking about so they know that you're paying attention to them. And when a person feels like they're being heard, they're more likely to be able to be easier to deal with. And this is with customers as well. Another one is being more assertive. Assertiveness is another key tool. A lot of times we're just not as assertive we need to be. So be looking at not taking that back seat and just letting them run all over you, but being assertive and maybe looking for collaborative efforts versus competing efforts. Don't be so accommodating and don't be so avoiding, but definitely be looking at being more assertive in your communication. So assertiveness, all too often, we don't set the boundaries up the right way. So we need to acknowledge a person's request and to declare what you want to do and what you want to see happen. If the person wants you to do something, you can always say no, decline it, and don't go into long, elaborated responses in how you're declining a message. So those are a couple of quick ones. I want to give you one more because our time is just about up here. And the last one is to manage your response. How are you responding to somebody? Are you creating and increasing the level of distrust? Are you overreacting? Are you in a good workspace right now? Or is your mindset in a good place? Or are you having a bad work day? Because some of those problems can come into play with working with a difficult person based upon whether it's a good day for you or a bad day for you. And the other thing is, we all have triggers. Is a person using a trigger or a hot button that is creating a problem for you, making them more of a difficult person? So just be careful of that. And one last thing I'm going to throw out at you before we sign off here is, don't get into the traps of difficult people. One of the things that we get into is this whole awfulizing. This is just awful. So the question I want to leave you with dealing with difficult people is, just how awful is it? If you had to equate the awfulness this difficult person, to losing something on your physical body, is this like losing, getting a cut or bruise? Or is this so awful it's like having three of your limbs cut off? So just how awful is it? And then think twice about that. Well, you've been listening to Today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. And, you know, I want to leave you with a quote or something to be thinking about in this next week, when the next time we get together. If you are patient in one moment of anger, you will escape 100 days of sorrow. It's an old Chinese saying. So the action I want to leave you with today is to notice if you are having any feelings of anger. And if you do, postpone taking any action for at least 24 hours. Well, again, this is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women. I'd like to thank you for tuning in today. And each week we try to address relevant topics for women to spark your career and life growth. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.